Hello, this is Robert Richards, and you're listening to The Waterhole, our weekly broadcast, which is now available on iTunes and all major podcast platforms. You can also watch the weekly video broadcast on our YouTube channel, links in the description. I pray this has been a blessing to you, and if you've enjoyed this message, please share this with a friend. God bless you, and remember, no matter where you are and what you've done, Jesus loves you. Well, glory to God. Get your Bibles out. And go to 1 Kings 18, if you would, please. 1 Kings 18. I've been preaching this message. I'm going to finish it this morning. And something I want to remind you. I don't know if Tracy may have just said it. I wasn't listening. So I'm sorry. But when we get back from Guatemala next week, for the service, Pastor Charles Slintz will be here with us. And I want to encourage you to be here because he's, you know, I've known Pastor Charles a lot of years. He had a church in Hondo, pastored it for 30 years in Hondo. He's a Rhema grad. And God moved him out of pastoring over there, and he's been in Ethiopia. And he is working with a Bible school over there, training students, pastors, to go into the country of Ethiopia. And it's a great work that they're working with. And he's going to be here. He's a great teacher. A great place for him to be is in the middle of a Bible college. But anyway, he's going to be here the next Sunday with us. And you won't want to miss it because you're going to hear a lot of good stories, a lot of great things of what God's doing everywhere else in the world. So be here for that. So anyway, I'm going to finish this message up today called Out of Order. And if you've listened to any of the messages before, I think I've got two. Maybe there was a third one that I kind of played around with or something. I don't know how many there are exactly. But the bottom line is there's too many Christians walking around with a sign hung around their necks that says out of order. And the problem is the reason why they're out of order, they're either misdirected in life, they're wounded in life, they're out of focus in life, they're made bad choices in life. Someone's told them they're out of order. They didn't know they were still functional, but somebody just told them they were out of order. You know, if you walked up to a machine, a vending machine, and it had a sign that said out of order, you wouldn't put your money in it, would you? Right? You would assume that it was out of order, and you would not put any money into it. Well, Christians, you listen to me, church, you are VIPs. You are very important people. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You are overcomers. You are conquerors. You're more than conquerors. You have the power of the living God on the inside of you. You're the temples of the Spirit of the living God. The same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, dwells in you, and fills you. We should not ever be out of order. We may be in temporary repair. Hello, can I get an amen? We may be in temporary repair, but I'm telling you what, we are the people that have the answer to this world, for this world. Do you believe that? I'm telling you, I got an answer. It's Jesus. And you're his mouthpiece, and you're his hands, and you're his feet. And if we're out of order, not functioning, well then, how does anybody have anybody they can turn to? Amen? So I've been giving you some points on how to get out, how to keep yourself in order, functioning, working, all right? Because my definition of out of order is it's broke, it doesn't work. Your Christianity, your belief in Jesus, it should be something that is the working power of your life. You should see miracles. Listen to me, church. You should see miracles happening in your life all the time. I was getting a little anxious about this trip just because there's so many things that I have responsibilities for and trying to get it all delegated and all set in motion and get everything going to where I could feel secure to leave. And I just felt a little uneasy. And I told Laura, I said, man, I'm just kind of anxious. I don't want to be anxious. And she's like, yeah, seems like there's something in the Bible about that. And I know. I said, I know. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, let your press and your prayer and request be made known unto the Lord, right? I mean, it's the answer. And so what did I have to do? I had to go pray. I had to say, okay, Lord, I'm you know, I'm concerned about this, and this, and can you cover that and take care of that, and just whatever happens, happens, and you're going to make it work out, and I'm just believing you. And then you put your faith in it, you put your trust into it, anxiety leaves. Are y'all with me? This is the way life is supposed to function. As Christians, we're supposed to, when you have financial distresses and financial needs, we're supposed to pray and see God move. Y'all just sitting there looking at me. I mean, like, I just told you something you never heard. I mean, it should be the answer for everything. Prayer should be the answer for everything that approaches you in life, right? But we should see things move. Hello? So, here's some of the reasons why he could be out of order. The first thing I talked about was in 1 Kings 18 and 15 when Elijah goes and meets Ahab and they're about to have the big battle up on Mount Carmel. He tells the prophets of Baal, says, how long are you going to be between two opinions? You may be out of order in your life because you got one foot in the world and one foot in the gospel. Or you got one foot, you know, serving the Lord, let's put it this way, and you want to do right, and you got one foot over here that you want to do wrong. You can't be torn between two opinions. Either God is God, Jesus is the Son of God, He is real, heaven is real, hell is real, the devil's real. It's either all real or it's not. You can't have a gospel in your life that only has the parts you like. See, there's parts of me I don't like. I don't like loving my enemies. I wish the gospel said, go forth, kill them, then you will be set free. I'd say, oh, glory to God, man. But that's not what the gospel says. The gospel says, no, do good to your enemies. Bless them. And so but that's in the same book, that's in the same Bible as confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So if I cut this one out, then what about this one? See, you either got to be committed to be a Christian or not. Too much right now in the world, we're going to a place where we're making a gospel tailor-fit for the needs of the people. So if you want to believe in, you know, if you want same-sex marriages, well, then you just kind of skirt around some scriptures in the Bible and change that so that you can fit in the gospel so everybody, no one's offended. And folks, I'm telling you, we can't live like that. If the gospel that I believe in, the Bible, offends people, well, then they're just going to have to be offended. Because it's the same for the person, the conviction of God for the adulterer, as it is for the homosexual. As it is for the glutton, as it is, I better look up here so nobody thinks I was looking at them. Folks, listen to me. If you are demon possessed with the spirit of Rocky Road, that is as much a sin. I don't care how you cut it. It is as much a sin as homosexuality or adultery or a thief or whatever. We don't want to admit it like that. But it's the truth. If you're possessed with the spirit of ice cream, and I can say that because I cast it out of my life, and I haven't eaten anymore. I don't eat ice cream anymore. I had 2 spoonfuls last week, the first time I've eaten any ice cream in a year. Because I was possessed with the spirit of Rocky Road. I heard the voice of Rocky Road talking to me more than I heard the voice of Jesus. That ain't right. So when something gets to you like that in life, you got to get it out. So I cut that thing out. It was painful. It was wicked. It was horrible. All I'm saying to you is God has got to be God in your life. Otherwise, you're going to get out of order because you can't function in two different worlds at the same time. All right? The second point was, and you can go back, like I said, go on iTunes. By the way, Jake just told me on iTunes, our iTunes have doubled in listening from last month to this month. So praise God. So keep telling your friends, keep going, because I'm just believing God for more and more people to get it, so we can just reach more out there in the world. Second point is that you have to come to the place that you really have to walk in faith and trust Jesus to do what he said he'd do. Now listen to me. Christianity without faith is religion. Did you hear what I said? Christianity without faith is just religion. You just go through the motions. There's nothing happening in your life. What pleases God, according to Hebrews 11 and 6, is faith. Faith pleases God. When you're believing God to help you work through a situation, He's happy about it. He's not disappointed saying, man, they can't get it right. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. He said, the goal is perfection, but you're not going to reach it except through the blood of Jesus. So I want to help you. So whenever you've got a problem, whenever you've got a need, whenever you've got a distress going on in your life and you're praying, God's happy about it. Because you're having faith and trusting in Him. In Mark 11, 15 through 17 is a story where Jesus was going. And he goes, if you go read the story, because I don't want to take time to review it, I got to get on. He goes into Jerusalem. He goes, it's Palm Sunday. They lay all the branches down before him. He goes into the temple. He looks. He comes back out. He goes back to Bethany. The next morning he comes back, sees the fig tree. It's not producing fruit. It's got leaves on it, so it should have had fruit. And it doesn't have any fruit. And he walks over there to it to get something to eat because he was hungry. He curses the fig tree. It withers and dies. The disciples then see this has happened when they come back from Jerusalem that day. They say, what is this? He cursed the fig tree. He died. We heard what you said. And he says, yeah, have faith in God. Or actually means have the God kind of faith. Now think about it. How does God's faith work? Think about that for a second. Do you think God has doubts? Oh, I don't know if I can do this. Can we make a star? When God was making the world in 6 days, because I don't believe we crawled out of the sea. Right? We didn't come from monkeys. We were created by an awesome creator. I don't believe he had to sit back and bite his fingernails wondering about how he's going to make things. But it said have the God kind of faith. That's that faith that absolutely believes it can all be taken care of. He says, if you have that kind of faith, you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And don't doubt in your heart. Well, when I told y'all this about me being on vacation, I was looking out over the Gulf and I was looking at how big it was. And I was thinking, you know, I never thought about this, but you could throw a mountain into the sea and the water would cover it up and you never even know it was there. That's how our faith has got to be in God. It has to be so assured that whenever you have a problem, you can launch it into the sea of God's faithfulness and He's going to cover it. He's going to take care of it. He's bigger than the problems of life. No matter what you're faced with today, no matter what the hurt or the pain or whatever has gone on in your life, God is bigger than that pain. It's just, will you believe Him to heal you? Will you believe Him to reach down on the inside of your heart and remove that pain and set you free? Some of us, it's hard for us because we have nurtured and just nursed our pain for so long, it's become like an old friend to us. That's all we talk about. That's all that we can think about is who did us wrong or what happened or this incident happened. We get stunned in life because some incident happens, situation happens in life, and it scars us so much we can't get over it. All we do is talk about it. And then you talk about it so much, you can't get healed of it because it's really become a part of you. The problem's become a part of you because you're focused on the problem, not on the awesomeness of God. I don't know about y'all. I just don't want to be crazy and I want to be healed. Hello? I don't want to be crazy. There's enough crazy people in the world. I don't want to join them. So anyway, that was one on faith. And then we talked about how you can look at the sea and how great the sea is. And so it took us to our third point, which I just touched on last week. The third point is, and y'all got to hear this whole thing out before you turn me off. The third point is, okay, first, you got to be, there can't be two gods in your life. You have to be sold out on what you believe. The second one is you've got to have faith in this God who's going to deliver you. And the third thing is you have got to live a radical Christian life. Now you say, oh gosh, pastor wants us to get the big bed sheet out and the tambourine and the big family Bible and go out and do all this. No, 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 no. I'm not talking about wacko. I'm not talking about crazy. I'm not talking about extremism. What I'm talking about is radical. Because let me tell you something. When you watch the Olympics, you watch any sporting event, how did those people get to that position? They got there because they're dedicated and they're radical in their faith and belief. They're radical in what they eat. They're radical in their exercise routine. They're radical in their sleep patterns. They're radical in everything that they do because they are training to win the Olympics. They're training for an event. They're training for this day to come and the gun shoots and they're running for the ribbon. Are y'all with me? Why don't we live like that for Jesus? See, we eat what we want to because we're not training for the Olympics. The only thing that curbs our appetites is whatever discomfort our clothes give us to say we ought to start losing some weight. Or if you're like me, just keep wearing your britches just a little lower. Am I right? Because, see, we're not radical in our exercise, radical in that, because we're not training for the Olympics. But let me tell you something. This is the day and the hour you cannot be a lackadaisical Christian. You better be learning your Bible. You better be learning the Scriptures. You better be getting them on and writing it as it was a pen on the tablet of your heart. You better be understanding your Jesus. You better be believing God for the little things so when a big thing comes, you're ready and prepared. We need to be radical in our faith, radical in our stance. That doesn't mean you go and tell everybody they're going to hell. Doesn't mean you go into your coworkers that I saw your life. It doesn't mean we get into judgment, we get into that. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that people can see something in your life they won't. That's the gospel. People can see something in you that they won't. Now, Mark 8:34 says, Jesus, he was talking to his disciples. He said, listen, if you're going to be ashamed of me, then when we come back, we're going to be ashamed of you. I paraphrase that, but that's what it says. I want to be the person who, when Jesus comes back, would put his arm around me. And I don't know. I think Jesus talks like this. Maybe you don't. Maybe you've got a religious Jesus with a lamb. But I don't. I want him to reach over there and get me, put his arm around me and say, man, this is Robert. This guy is crazy for me. This guy, he's unbelievable. The crazy things that he's done and believed me for. You know, I wasn't even going to do them, but you believe me for him. Way to go. Because I believe for some crazy things in life, okay? But you follow what I'm saying? I want to be introduced in heaven like that. I don't want Jesus to say, oh, yeah, there's Robert. Faithless Bob over here. I don't want to be introduced like that. I want him not to be ashamed of me. He said he would be. Listen, is that just metaphorically speaking? The Lord's full of love. He would never, ever be ashamed. But listen, you got some crazy liberal theology because the Bible is absolutely true. And if he said he was ashamed of you, he'd be ashamed of you. It's like nobody likes to read that scripture where Jesus talks about beating people with many stripes. But it's in there. I want to live radically for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16:15 says that it was talking about the household of Stephanus, and he says they are addicted to the ministry. That's the word they use, addicted. Well, why don't we take the addictions of our lives that we have addicted to everything else, and why don't we become addicted to the gospel? Why don't we become addicted to Jesus where you can't go to work that day unless you've read your Bible? You can't go to work unless you've prayed. You're not going to venture into a business deal until you've prayed and asked the Lord what he wants to do about it. Oh, that sounds radical, doesn't it? It is radical. It's radical, sold-out living where you're not ashamed for Jesus. And folks, listen, we've got to have it in our life. We've got to build our faith and feed your spirit. You got to build your faith and feed your spirit. Listen to me. You're a man on three dimensions. You're a body, You're a spirit who lives in a body who has a soul. You got an earth suit, this thing we walk around in that functions improperly. Then you've got the real you on the inside of you, the spirit you. Why, when you leave church on Sundays, when you're built up and you feel good, do you not catch on to that that's feeding your spirit? Right now, your spirit is being fed. Right now, the spirit on the inside of you is growing. The spirit on the inside of you is getting excited. Maggie gave me a CD of a pastor who was, it was basically like the Praying the Word book I've got, but it was done to music. And she gave it to me, said, I think you'd like to listen to this. And I put it in my truck and I listened to it, an hour and a half to work and an hour and a half back. And it was good. It was good, but of course I got to listen. I said, man, Laura's better on the piano than that is. And, you know, I think I like my scriptures better than his. And I was a little judgmental on it, but I was thinking, man, we could do it better. I think we could do one better than this. But then I noticed that in listening to this, and it was just quoting the word, just speaking the word, just quoting the word and saying the word, and there's music in the background. And I noticed when I got home how much my spirit was built when I wasn't really even mentally into the CD, but it was just playing and I was listening to the word, because the word's going to build you. It was just playing, man. I was built up. My spirit was like, whoo, come on, buddy. Because see, your spirit's got to hear the word. That's what it feeds off of, is word. Your body needs food and your spirit needs word. Well, we've got to be people who build your faith and feed your spirit. That's how you become radical in your living. I want a giant spirit. I've already told you this, when we get to heaven, you're not going to recognize me, because you're going to look at me. You're looking at me in this earth suit, and I ain't got this earth suit on when we get to heaven. I'm 9 foot tall, bulletproof, because it takes that big of a body to house my spirit, I'm telling you. Y'all probably recognize my voice and say, Pastor Robert, is that you? I say, man, I'm looking good. What does radical living look like? Well, here's some examples of radical living. You forgive when you don't want to. You give till it hurts. You study and read the word, not desire to be entertained. You pray instead of complain. You desire God's presence in your life more than living. You don't have time to be offended or talk discouragement. That's radical living. Proverbs 27:7 says, a satisfied soul, he loves the honeycomb. He wants the honeycomb. He yearns for it. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. If you're hungry enough, man, no matter what it takes, you'll do it. And I'm telling you, get hungry. Get a radical life and get hungry. Amen? How radical was Jesus? Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. How radical is that? Well, he just meant that metaphorically. Okay, let's take the metaphor. That's pretty severe. Pull your eye if it's causing you to sin. I mean, he means get with it. Be radical. Hebrews 1:8. He said, but unto thy son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. And thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness more than thy fellows. You know you're starting to live a radical life. Listen to me. When you're not just mad because something happened to you, but you're mad because something has been done that's just not righteous. I understand that a lot of the things that are happening in our world today and in our government today and things like that today, they some affect me directly and some are indirectly. But I'm not mad about that they did it to me. I'm mad that the world has become so unrighteous that they can't see righteousness. That is a godly principle, to be angry at iniquity. That means your spirit's full and it's being sensitive to that. When you're mad, I can't. We go to the orphanage and we have an orphanage in Guatemala and we work with them. Why? Because I'm angry that children are treated like that. So what are we going to do? We're going to do something about it. We're going to rescue as many as we can, you see? It takes that anger on the inside of us to be directed in the right way. We don't need it directed at people. We don't need it directed at the government. We don't need it directed at our president. We need to pray because we're radical. And believe God to do something. I don't just pray to try to feel better about my situation. If you go back and read the book of Exodus when the children of Israel were enslaved in Egypt, it says God heard their cry and He delivered His people. I believe today God hears our cry. Folks, but are we crying? Radical Christians cry out to God for deliverance. Radical Christians cry out and say, Lord, you got to do something. Radical Christians don't sit around and complain. They sit around and pray. We've got to turn all of our disappointments in our government right now into prayer, church. I want you to put this one up. And let's look at this. Psalms 119:136. Psalms 119:136. Some of y'all are saying, Pastor, it's not going to finish this message. He's running out of time. But I say, I will. Watch how fast I go. You better hold your own. Psalms 119:136 says, rivers of water run down my eyes because men do not keep your law. Listen to me. When our Supreme Court decided to make same-sex marriages and overrule what 90% of the populace wanted, so many people were angry at them. So many people are angry at liberal agendas and all these different things. But let me tell you something. What really is the saddest thing is that the world has come to that place and nobody's thinking about righteousness. And God says it's supposed to bring us to tears and we weep for our nation. We don't need to be angry at people. We don't need to be pointing fingers at people. We don't need to be screaming and hollering at people. We need to be crying and even repenting for the foolish mistakes of others. We're all in the same boat. Do you realize that? It's called America. And we're all floating along in the same boat. And we try to get people to stop poking holes in it, so it doesn't all sink with all of us in it. But we're all in the same boat. But we have to stand back as radical Christians and pray for this nation. Another situation that's going on right now falls into Psalms 122, verses 6 through 9. It says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and my companions, I will now say, peace be with you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Listen to me. Right now, our nation is set that we may become not as good of allies to Israel as we've ever been before. And right now, what we need to be doing, if we're going to be radical Christians, is praying for the peace of Jerusalem. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not Jewish. I'm a Gentile. Excuse me. Go read your Bible. It's all Jewish. I never forget, I heard a pastor one time saying that he'd never read a Bible and got saved and started reading the Bible, and all of a sudden he turned up and he says, this is all about Jews. You know, he had an American mind and American Jesus, you know, in slack pants and all. We're all tied together. We're all coming from the same root. And if America turns against Israel, turns their back on Israel, it does affect you. You may be living in the hills up here and think everything's okay, but it does affect you. Radical Christians are going to pray for their government, are going to weep for their government, the bad decisions they make, and ask God to deliver them. And radical Christians are going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm telling you, folks, we're getting down to the wire, I think. And I want to go out in a blaze of glory. All right? But I'm telling you, there's some things happening so fast and so quick. I can tell you, I've never before been able to put it together in the Bible, but I'm telling you right now, things are happening so fast, I could just see if that peg or wheel turns and drops into the cog. Thank you. Drops into the right cog. I want to tell you something. Then it'll just go click, 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 click. But it's okay because we're radical Christians. Here's the last one, last point, number four. Matthew 6:22. You need to write this one down. You need to memorize it. Matthew 6:22. It says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? The fourth point here is that you have to stay focused. There is so many distractions going on in the world right now. There is so many little jingledy-dingledies flopping around out there in the world and trying to get your attention. And you have to stay focused. You have to stay focused. And the only way, listen, that you're going to do this, the only way you're going to be able to stay focused in life is that you have to know what the target is. Listen to me. Golfers know this. Pistol shooters know this. Everybody knows this. It's the distractions around the peripheral area that get you in trouble. Because when you start looking over at something else, you get your mind focused on something else. You know, I hate to even use golf stories. I don't play golf. I'm a horrible golfer. It's the most frustrating game on the other. The other day, I was thinking, I said, you know, maybe I ought to go back and start playing golf. Maybe that'll be something that, you know, I can do on a continual basis. And I thought, that wasn't God. I rebuke that thought in the name of Jesus. But when Pastor Randy was here, he liked to play golf, and so he'd make me go with him and play golf. And I just learned that the fun of golf was not how well I could hit the ball, but how much trash I could talk to mess the other person up. That just gave me joy. And one day we walked up to this tee box, you're teeing off, and it was going down the fairway, and then it had a real strong right-hand turn down there so far and went off, and the pin was over there. But I just noticed when I was standing there right off to the left of the fairway that they had trimmed an oak tree, and they cut it off, and then they had painted it black, you know, so bugs don't get in it. And it looked like a bullseye. And so I had walked up there and looked at it, and then so I waited till he got up there, and I said, man, look at that oak tree over there. I said, look at that, looks just like a bullseye over there. Huh, I'll be darned. And then I just didn't say anything else. And he got up there and he hit that ball and hit right on that oak. I mean, it was perfect. And he just threw his club in and says, Robert, that isn't fair. He said, just tell me that, get that in my mind. I can't see anything but that. And so I started laughing. I was laughing so hard. So I get up there and I tee up. And so, like, I'm supposed to be like, this is the fairway and it's coming over here. I just go like this, man. I just turn my back to that thing. I'm just going to just try to just slice one around or whatever, man. I don't care because I know now because it's in my head. If I even get sight of that tree, I'm going to hit it. And lo and behold, if I didn't do the most amazing, unbelievable balls going like it went out 90 degrees and then took an immediate right and hit that oak tree. Because I worked so hard psyching him up or psyching him out that it got me too, okay? All I'm saying is you got to stay focused in life. You have got to keep your focus, and there's so many things going on. So here's a scripture for you, okay? Philippians 3:13. Philippians 3:13. It says, brethren, I count myself to have apprehended but this one thing. No, let me read that again. I didn't read that right. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended but this one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind. I reach forward into those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, you have got to not let the past determine your future. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? You've got to stay focused. You cannot let the past determine your future. The past is the past. In my past, it's just like the line of this stage right here. Everything right there is behind me. It may try to talk to me. It may yell at me, but I'm not looking back. I'm looking forward. I've made mistakes in the past. I'm not going to make them before, but if I'm turned around looking at those mistakes, I'm going to make the same mistakes in the future. I learn from my mistakes. I grow from my mistakes. But I am telling you, you cannot let be looking at the past to let it'll determine your future. What you were is not who you are today. Who you are today is a radical Christian on a track to get yourself spiritually built up and in shape to go and to conquer whatever is going to come to you in the future. But if you don't keep your eyes on the prize, if you don't believe and you're not looking towards the future saying, this is what I want to do or this is what I want to be or this is where I want to go. You're going to get lost. Now, does that mean, okay, tomorrow I'm going to go do this and this, and then I'm going to do that and that? No. I'm not. You don't always know exactly how you're to plan your day out. But listen to me. I'm going to serve Jesus. And I want to tell you, let me tell you what my prize is. Let me tell you what the goal is for me. The door to heaven throwing open, Jesus walking out, and me hearing those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's my mark. That's what I'm shooting at. The door is to come open and Jesus to walk out, and there I'm standing, ready to go into heaven, and behind me, a multitude of people that were touched with the gospel. That's all I'm looking for. You say, well, how are you going to get there? What are you going to do? I'll just plot that out as we go along this course. But I already know what the end result is. That's what I want to hear. Nothing means more. Listen to me. Somebody right now could say, look, Robert, we want to give you the award for this or that or the other. The highest award that we could possibly give you. There's a higher reward that I'm looking for. It's to hear Jesus say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what I live for. Because if you're living for anything else, you're going to fall short. Now, I want to read this, or turn there. Go. I got one more scripture, and I'm finishing up here. Revelations 3. Go to Revelations 3:11. I read this, and I just thought it was really funny. Some of you are going to get hit with something here in just a second, and you're going to get challenged. And so just kind of tighten up your socks a little bit. Kind of pull your toes up in here so don't blow your socks plumb off of you. I had a person, I made this statement, I believe it pays to serve God, not only in heaven, but here on earth also. I believe it pays to serve God. I believe you're blessed when you serve God. I believe there's rewards for you in heaven. And one day I was challenged, this has been years and years ago, I was challenged by a person who came to me and said, I don't believe that's true. I believe what you're saying, that's not true. I believe like we get to heaven, we walk through the doors, and then it's all equal. Everybody, it's all equal because how could God, if God is a God of justice, and how could he be fair if it just wasn't everybody got the same robe, the same harp, the same house, the same everything. And I just looked at the person, I said, man, I hate to tell you, but you know, God's not a communist. We're not going to a new communist world set up by a dictator. And that everybody looks the same. And they said, well, I just can't believe that. And I said, well, go read your Bible. Because the Bible says there are rewards and crowns and mansions and jewels. There are benefits for serving God. On this earth, let me just tell you this. On this earth, if you don't believe God's going to prosper, you know what you're going to get? Nothing. Only the ability that you have to be a good business person. I'm not going to take that away from anybody. Some people just have more of a knack and an ability in life to do business than others do. And I'm not going to take that away from anybody. But people, common average Joe, you better be believing God to bless you. You better be a tither. You better be a giver, activating all the principles of God, so that God's blessing you on all corners, because that's the way God works. There are benefits for serving God. Well, Revelation chapter 3, verse 11 says, "Behold, I will come quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take it, take your crown." So do we all have equal crowns? It's not what the Bible says. "For he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God." Now listen to this. "And he shall go out no more, and I will write on him," I will write on him, "I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name." And I was reading that, and I was thinking about rewards, and I was reading about that, and I said, holy cow, when we get to heaven, we get tattooed. So I thought, surely not. Heavens to Betsy, surely not. So I went and I looked up the word "write on." You know, I mean, let's get down to the Greek and let's figure out what this word means and go through the whole Septuagint and find out what this word really is. So I did. And it's the word grapho. The word where we get graphics from. And it means to write with reference to the form of the letters. To write on the form of letters on a tablet, a parchment, a paper, or other materials. To write with reference to content of the writing. I don't know. Go figure it out yourself. All I'm saying is that it just jumped out to me that God so much, this is what I'm saying, loves you when you start to serve Him, when you commit yourself to Him, when you become a radical Christian to you, that He wants His name literally on you so that everybody can see you're His. That if you'll let me say it like this, you were tattooed with the name of God. Inked. It's written with the pen of God so that it isn't coming off. It's permanent marker. Huh? I mean, don't let me pull the word out of text here. I'm just telling you that's what it says. He's going to write on me the name of God. I can think of nothing more joyous in my life. And I know some of y'all are just irritated with what I'm saying, but I just can think of nothing more joyous in my life. I see me sitting in the chair getting tattooed by God, saying, "He's mine." Marking because He's mine. That to me, it's like, yeah, want to be a part of the club? That's the club I want to be a part of. Because it says, and apparently it all happens to everyone, because everybody got the name of God, and everybody got the city of the New Jerusalem written on them. Y'all with me? My point is, folks, this is the goals that we look for. That we want to press on to the mark of the high calling of Christ in Jesus. We press on to God putting His name on us and saying, "They're mine." So you don't get sidetracked through all the fluffy, dainty things in life, or, listen to me, the problems of life. Hear me now. You can get just as distracted with your job, life, kids, school, income, you know, whatever. You can get just as distracted with problems, hurts, hang-ups, addictions, things over here that can get you just as distracted. That's why with our new prayer program here in the church with Freedom Prayer, that we're doing is because we're trying to get you free from those problems over here that keep you bound and you can't get focused to go on for Jesus. That's what it's all about. And we all have hang-ups. We all have issues. All of us do. But I'm telling you, if you put these principles into practice, you're going to be an overcomer. You're going to be more than a conqueror. Look at the person beside you and say, "You are a radical Christian." I know every one of y'all, and those of you watching and listening, and those of you here today, you've got to be pretty radical to come to church here. It's not the norm. I've already gone past 12 o'clock, so I didn't make the lunch break, you know? But you're willing to sit here, and you're willing to be hungry for God. And that says a lot. And I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, church. But I just want you to know, this is the life that, this is where we've got to get to. Amen? This is the life we've got to live. We've got to live this radical Christian life. So, turn your complaining into prayers. Pray for our government. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for this day and this hour that we live in. Pray that we'll have wisdom. Pray for this church. Pray for me and my wife that we as pastors will hear God and go the right direction. Amen? Amen. Well, put your Bible up and stand to your feet if you would. Okay, just hold on. Listen, if you're here or you're watching or listening and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the first step. Remember I said, very first point is you can't be in two worlds. You need to be set out. You need to be sold out. And so if you're not right with God, if you're not right with Jesus, if you've come to that place in life where you have just not given your heart to the Lord and you know it, or maybe you did at one time, but now you've just kind of fallen off and today's your day. Well, listen, I want to tell you it's that simple. Romans chapter 10 says, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. Ask Him to come into your life and He will. Right there you can just say, Jesus, come into my life. I want You to be a part of my life. I give my heart to You and He will. He will. If you're here today and this message has spoken to your heart, if you're here today and you want to not be out of order anymore. You want to take your sign and you want to get rid of it. And you want to be able to say, Lord, I want to be in full service. If that's you, I want to pray for you right now. Okay? I want to pray for you. And so I'm just gonna assume everybody wants to be in full service. Nobody wants to be out of order. So I want y'all to pray this with me. All right? Everybody say, Jesus, I want to be in working order. I don't want to be out of order. So today, I commit my life to You, to live for You with all of my heart. Now show me anything that is keeping me from functioning correctly. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Open up my eyes and let me see. Jesus, I love You and I want to see You and hear those words. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. Now look at that person beside you and say, you got it. Church, let me have my prayer team come down right now. If you're here today and you want prayer, you're here today and you got something you want to discuss with somebody, you want to pray about somebody, you want to come talk to Lex and Jeannie about freedom prayer, whatever, we're here for you. We're here for you. And so take that person's hand beside you, look at them and say, you're going to make it. Come on, look at the person on the other side and say, you're going to make it. Come on, squeeze your hand just one more time and say, you're going to make it. So Father, right now as we go out into this world, I just declare we go out. And Lord, we're going to sing Your praises. We're going to stand. We're going to be radical Christians for You. We're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're going to pray for those that have help, that need help. And Lord, I ask You today to just guide us, to direct us, to bless us, and we thank You for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you, church.